Thank you, Todd and team. Good to be with you this morning. What a blessing. I've got a number of our children up at Mountaintop this weekend for the Mountain Movers Retreat. Pray for them as they finish up and travel back this afternoon. We'll look forward to getting them back and appreciate those who work with them and have taken them up there to Mountaintop. And good to be with you this morning and to have the opportunity to share from the Word of God. You see behind me, leaflet shortly before the United States dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. We showered the Japanese cities of Nagasaki, Hiroshima, and 33 other potential targets with over 5 million of these leaflets warning civilians of the impending attack. On the rear of the leaflet that you see in Japanese were these words: "Read this carefully as it may save your life or the life of a relative or friend. In the next few days, some or all of the cities named on the reverse side will be destroyed by American bombs. These cities contain military installations and workshops or factories which produce military goods. We are determined to destroy all of the tools of the military clique which they are using to prolong this useless war. But unfortunately, bombs have no eyes. So in accordance with America's humanitarian policies, the American Air Force, which does not wish to injure innocent people, now gives you warning to evacuate the cities named and save your lives. America is not fighting the Japanese people, but is fighting the military clique which has enslaved the Japanese people. The peace which America will bring will free the people from the oppression of the military clique and mean the emergence of a new and better Japan. You can restore peace by demanding new and good leaders who will end the war. We cannot promise that only these cities will be among those attacked, but some or all of them will be. So heed this warning and evacuate these cities immediately." An American-controlled radio station in Saipan was broadcasting a similar message to the Japanese people every 15 minutes. And 5 days after the flyers were distributed, Hiroshima was destroyed by the little boy atomic device. Warning was given. I don't know how many people read that and fled those cities. Some probably considered it American propaganda. Others took it seriously, and their lives were saved. We're going to be looking this morning at Luke chapter 21 again. Luke chapter 21. And we've been considering this thought of destruction ahead. Destruction ahead. A destruction that will ultimately be much more damaging even than the little boy atomic device or the fat man bomb that was dropped 3 days later on Nagasaki, effectively ending Japanese aggression in World War II. In Luke 21, we're going to read beginning with verse 5, and we're going to be concluding at the end of the chapter and focusing our attention on those verses that conclude the chapter as we bring this study of Luke 21 to an end, continuing on in the will of the Lord very soon into Luke 22. Luke 21, verse 5, "Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, 'These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.' So they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?' And he said, 'Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately.' Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Destruction ahead. The primary interpretation, as I understand it, of this passage had to do both with the people who lived at that time in a near fulfillment that took place in 70 AD when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the armies of the Roman Empire. There was also a far fulfillment that is yet to be fulfilled. We read in Zechariah, as well as other places in the Old Testament and the New Testament, things that will occur at the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus given here in this passage that have not yet come to pass. So as we think about those who will be living in the tribulation period, we have here prophecy for them. Prophecy possibly for some who are in this room today, that if the Lord Jesus comes back before you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, or before you die, then you will enter into that period of tribulation. And we see that near the end of that time, the city of Jerusalem will again be surrounded, not just by the Roman army, but by a variety of armies from around the world. But this morning, as we think about this passage, we've been looking at it, and I encourage you to go back onto our website. The website address is there on your bulletin. You can go and listen to recordings. You can hear music. You can hear sermons from Sunday mornings and evenings and Wednesday nights. And even you can follow along with the PowerPoint. If it's there, there's a little pencil icon. Click on that, and you can actually look at the PowerPoint as you follow along listening to the message. So I encourage you to go back and see some of the other studies on this chapter, because we're not going to revisit all of that. But we're going to work our way down into the last verses. And last Sunday morning, we looked particularly at verses 34 and 35, and we're going to really pick up with 36 this morning. But one thing that we saw last Sunday morning is going to carry over into the message today, and that's this truth that preparation for destruction requires you to be careful and prayerful. Notice again in verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves." Take heed to yourselves. Also, verse 36 begins like this, "Watch therefore." Be careful. That's a warning. Be careful because judgment is coming. Be careful because destruction is ahead. And then be prayerful. We see in verse 36 that we're to watch therefore and pray always. So this morning, we will mention potentially some of the things involved with the tribulation. Our primary thought this morning is going to be an application of these truths to us today. To us today. Those who are alive today. You know, for every scripture that you read, there is one interpretation. But there are many applications. And as long as we take the Word of God and seek to compare Scripture with Scripture, we often can make applications from a passage that is not directly to us, but we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So as we think about this preparation for destruction, last week, again, in verses 34 and 35, our specific challenge was to beware the gradual addition of unhealthy weight, distractions. Don't be distracted by the things of this world. Don't be distracted by trying to avoid the realities of eternity and also of time. But now we want to think about verse 36, particularly be prayerful. Let's read it together again. Verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now those who read that during the tribulation period are going to read it with the impending judgment that is coming at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. But I would like for us this morning again to make application to our own day. Because as we understand it, the next thing on the calendar that God has for the future, as far as future prophetic events to be fulfilled, is the rapture of the church, when the Lord Jesus will come back not to the earth, but to the air. And we've looked at some of the distinctions between those two aspects of His coming. And so we're thinking here of being prayerful, watching always, being aware, because we know that the distractions of this life are insidious. And the distractions of this life have a numbing effect. And so we read in verse 36, "Therefore..." Because this is true, I want you, the Lord Jesus says, to watch and pray always. We saw that prayer is evidence of sincere faith. Because he who comes to God in any way, in prayer or any other way, who truly comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists. And that as he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that prayer will help keep us focused on reality. "And pray always that you may be counted worthy," as we saw last week, not, "Lord, help me to be worthy," but prayer as an evidence of faith, because you believe that what God has said is going to transpire is going to transpire. Verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away," the Lord Jesus said, "but my words will by no means pass away." We thought about that worthiness to escape and to stand. That's what we're going to look at this morning. But I want to reiterate, without going back through it, what we said last week, that our worthiness to escape the coming judgment and our worthiness to stand before the Son of Man is not dependent on our ability, but rather is dependent on the righteous act of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And the righteousness that has been applied, credited to our account, if we have trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, and we're going to consider that this morning. Again, you can listen last week to hear more regarding that righteousness of the Lord Jesus and the righteousness that can be ours. Worthy to escape. Again, worthy to escape through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. We're going to be looking at this morning. First of all, the worthiness to escape. You might say that's from the negative perspective, getting away from the coming judgment. And then there's that worthiness to stand before the Lord. That would be more the positive perspective, to be able to stand there in His presence one day, not to be judged for our sin, but rather to be welcomed into His presence because of our faith in Him. Worthy to escape. Jordan and Ashley, you celebrated their fifth anniversary with them this morning. Well, they went to Charlotte and spent Friday evening and part of the day Saturday just so the grandparents could keep their grandson. No, that wasn't the only, not their grandson, our grandson. Their son. That wasn't the only. They went to enjoy. And while they were there, they went to something I'd never heard of. It's an escape room. Any of you ever been to an escape room? You hadn't been there. You might have heard about it. Well, now the advertisement. I think there's one in Winston-Salem, too. But they went into that room with a group of six other people, and there were all kind of clues around the room that you didn't have any clue what the clues were, and you had to figure it out. The goal being, ultimately, to escape out of that room, which they did, and we're so thankful because they're able to come here and be with us this morning. But you know what? We have something to escape that will, the Lord Jesus said, will come to pass. I want us to look at several things. I'm not going to ask you to turn to these passages for sake of time, but I encourage you to jot them down and look at them later, because these things will come to pass. Four of them I want to mention very quickly this morning. First of all, a worthiness through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus to escape the wrath to come. Luke 3:7, the Lord Jesus looked out at the multitudes. John the Baptizer looked out at the multitudes that came to be baptized by him. And here's what he said to them: "Brood of vipers, you snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Who warned you to escape from the coming wrath? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read about the tribulation period. And we read that during that tribulation period, according to verse 3 of that chapter, people are going to be saying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. We read in Romans chapter 2, because of sin, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Paul goes on to write, "To those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek." In John 3:36, we read that he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The anger of God, the holy and righteous anger of God against sin, abides on those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus, the one who has spoken the words that we read this morning. And we heard His voice by faith, believing that this is the true Word of God. We heard what He said regarding a worthiness to escape. God's wrath is coming. God has not dropped leaflets from an airplane. No, He has given us the Word of God. And He has also given us believers in the Lord Jesus. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you, as it were, are a leaflet dropped from God down right where you live. right into your neighborhood, right into your workplace, right into your school, right into your community. God has taken and dropped you, as it were, right down there as a leaflet. Warning. Warning of the wrath of God that is coming to everyone who does evil. And the Bible says we've all done evil. The Bible says we've all sinned. And if we say we haven't sinned, he says we're telling God, God, you're a liar. I've never sinned. And there are many people in our lives today who are trying to escape, not the wrath to come. They're trying to escape the thought of the wrath to come. They don't want to think about it. The distractions, the cares of this life are a blessing for them because it clouds their thoughts regarding what's really important. The Lord Jesus wants to escape the wrath to come. Here's the escape route. Romans 5, verses 8 through 10. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Christ saw you in your sin. You hadn't even sinned once yet. And He could see you in your sin because He's omniscient and He sees the future as well as the present and the past. He saw my sin. And the Lord Jesus was willing to die that I might be declared righteous, justified by His blood shed there at Calvary, so that I could be saved from wrath through Him, that I could be saved from what I truly deserve, the righteous and holy anger of God. But not only worthy to escape the wrath to come, also to escape the judgment of God, Romans 2:3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Those who look at themselves and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty moral person. And I'm definitely better than that guy. And you see that woman over there that I just talked to at the store? I am so much beyond her. I'm surely going to escape the judgment of God, but God says, you know what? I know your heart. I know what's in your heart. I know not only what's on your lips, and I know not only what's in your life and your actions, I know what you're thinking, and I know what you're feeling, and I know your heart. And God says, I will judge, and you will not escape. You will not escape the judgment of God. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 tells us that it's appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. God is going to call to account with a righteous declaration of our condition before Him. And God says, I'm going to do that, but there is a way of escape. After we read in Hebrews 9, 27 about the coming judgment, we read in verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. You see, the Lord Jesus is coming back, isn't He? And if we don't know Him as Savior, we're not looking forward to that because He's coming with the judgment of God. But if we know Him as Savior, we're looking forward to His return because we're going to be able to be with Him and to stand before Him and to run not only to His embrace by faith, as was sung to us today and we sang, but to run to Him physically and to be embraced in His arms. That's what we have to look forward to if we know Him. Worthy to escape the wrath to come, the judgment of God, and the condemnation of hell, the Lord Jesus, now He took the turn to call people snakes, serpents, brood of vipers, He said, to religious people who would not trust Him, but rather trusted in their own righteousness, their own ability to somehow please God. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? That's what we deserve. That's what we all deserve, to be condemned to hell for all eternity, separated from God, never feeling the embrace of God, but rather experiencing only the judgment of the hand of God coming down upon us. I praise God for Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To be in the Lord Jesus by faith, not by works, but rather by faith, the worthiness to escape comes through salvation. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The salvation that God has provided through the Lord Jesus, His Son, sending Him to live that life of perfection, a life that there was no way that we could ever achieve that life of perfection. I don't know how old I was when I sinned for the first time, probably about 2 minutes. I don't know how old I was when I sinned for the first time knowingly. I expect I was pretty young. But you know what? I don't have any fear of condemnation now for those sins, or even the sins I've committed this morning, because I'm in Christ Jesus. I have believed on Him as my Savior. And now I'm looking forward to seeing Him. And as we've seen in prior weeks, there is the opportunity for reward. But the Lord Jesus desires that we be worthy to escape the loss of reward. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." That opportunity to gain crowns, to give back to Him, by living a life that honors Him upon this earth. As John says in 1 John chapter 2, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. We don't become positionally righteous by practicing righteousness, but rather we practice righteousness because we are positionally righteous. He has given us the ability, if we've trusted Christ as Savior, we have a new life. We have a new life. And it's not an automatic life. It's a life of faith, where I've got to step out in faith, believing that when God says don't do this, He means don't do that. And He will enable me not to do that, because in my own strength, often I am incapable of resisting. And when He says, "I want you to be this," and I know that there's no way that I can consistently be that, He says, "I will enable you to be that. I will enable you to be love and joy and peace and patience. I will enable you to be kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I will live the life of my Son through you, because you are righteous in my sight." Not because you've done anything to be righteous, but because my Son has done the work and you have received Him as Savior by not neglecting so great salvation. You know that salvation that takes us from darkness to light, from death to life, is the same salvation that we need on an ongoing basis to have victory over sin. The death of the Lord Jesus is the key to victory over sin and its power, just as it is key to God's victory in our lives over the penalty of sin, and one day the presence of sin. But then worthy to stand, that more positive perspective, if you want to call it that, that positive perspective. You know, right now in the NCAA March Madness, that championship tournament, there are 24 teams that are still standing. Started out with 64, down to 24. 40 teams have fallen. They're no longer standing. They will not be worthy to stand there. None of those 40 will have any worthiness to stand there after that last game and to receive the trophy. Now, for them, only one of these 24 teams, and I didn't wear my tie. You already seen my tie, but you saw my Carolina tie last week. They're one of the 24. In fact, they're one of the last 16. It's going to be there. Will they be standing at the end? I don't know. The Lord Jesus says, here's something a lot more important than winning a trophy for anything on this earth. It's standing before the Son of Man. We're not going to take time. I have some verses here regarding standing during the tribulation period, but our time is running short, and I want us to focus in on us and the application to us today. As we mentioned, that positional righteousness, our standing before God. And then our practical righteousness, that living out a life of faith and of godliness, that applies here too regarding our worthiness, not to stand before the Lord Jesus forgiven and redeemed, but rather to stand there to receive His well done, good and faithful servant. Again, all by Him. And let's look very quickly at four things that our worthiness to stand before the Lord Jesus is based on. Number one is grace. Grace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. If you ever stand before the Lord Jesus with joy, it will be because you have a standing in grace. That you recognize that you have not earned it. You know that you do not deserve it. But if we had time to look more at Romans 5, we would see that, as we already read, our peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are righteous in His sight because of what He has done. Dying at Calvary and rising again, as we will specifically celebrate next Sunday morning, but we celebrate it every Sunday. We celebrate it 365 days a year, 366 days this year. While we were still sinners, we read, we are saved from the wrath to come by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about grace. Romans 5 goes on to tell us that if by the one man, Adam's offense, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Are you standing in grace this morning? Are you counting on the work of the Lord Jesus and what He did for you to enable you one day to stand before the Lord Jesus? Are you hoping in something else? Are you hoping that you've been good enough, or you will be good enough? Or God will somehow be loving enough to ignore His own character of holiness, and that will not happen. There's also faith. A worthiness to stand based on faith. In Romans chapter 11, as Paul, by the Spirit of God, speaks to the nation of Israel regarding them and the Gentile nations, he makes a statement that I would like to make application here for us. He said to them, because of unbelief, they were broken off, speaking to the Gentiles here about the Jewish people. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. How will I stand before the Lord Jesus one day? Will it be because I have worked so hard for God? Because I've studied the Bible so much and prayed so diligently, and I've tried to pray always like the Lord Jesus said, so maybe I'll be able to stand one day rather than to be cast into the lake of fire. No, it's going to be by faith. It's not going to be by works. It's going to be by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? The jailer asked Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Do anything else to try to be saved and you won't be saved. You won't be forgiven. You won't stand. Based on grace, based on faith, based on the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul writes, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. He goes on to give us that gospel message in verses 3 through 5, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. The gospel message that Christ died for us. That there's nothing we can do to atone for our own sins, no matter how many miles we crawl on our knees, no matter how much we beg and plead, no matter how many good deeds of charity and kindness we may do for those in need, we will not earn salvation. The gospel is good news because we can't earn salvation. The gospel is good news to tell us who know that we can't earn salvation that salvation is available. It's free. It's a gift. Do you want it? The question is from the Lord Jesus. The gospel. Our stand before Him will be based on our faith in the Lord Jesus, our acceptance of the gospel. And even as we seek to live out that life, that we might be rewarded, not for our own pride or benefit, but that we might offer those crowns back to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for dying for me. Thank you for making it possible that I could have an opportunity to earn this crown. And I didn't earn it anyway. You earned it through me. I wouldn't have earned any crowns if you had not lived your life through me. And we read in Romans 14:4. I'm sorry. That must be time to quit. Okay. Hang on. Maybe. Okay. Hang on. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. I want to close this morning with that challenge to watch. We don't watch in order to be worthy to escape and stand. But we should watch. We should watch because we have been made worthy to escape and stand. And therefore, I want to honor the Lord Jesus with my life. And so I want to be careful. I want to be prayerful. I want to be on guard. I want my life to reflect the Lord Jesus. We have not been made worthy to escape and stand. If that's you here this morning, if you've come this morning and maybe you came here thinking, you know, I'm okay with God. You know, God and I are all right. It's going to work out in the end, I feel sure. But maybe as you've thought about it this morning, you've heard the Word of God read and shared and expounded. Maybe you come to that point and you say, I don't know that I am worthy to escape and stand. I've never received the Lord Jesus. I've never put my faith and trust in the One who died for my sins and rose again. Well, I want to tell you, if you're in that situation this morning, you more than anyone in here need to watch. You need to be aware. You need to stop and think about eternal realities, because this life is temporary and this life is coming to a close and this life is a vapor. This life is so brief. So brief. This morning it was shared in the Lord's Supper regarding a daughter of some friends of ours here in this local assembly, 21 years old, brain tumor, and she died. 21. Many of us have been to the funerals of infants. Many of us have been to the funeral of people of a variety of ages. We don't know when we will leave this life. I want to ask you, how will the recognition of destruction ahead affect your decisions today, right now? We're going to close our eyes and we're just going to take a moment of silence. Our brother David is going to come and play just one verse of a hymn after I pray. You know, I just wonder, in what sense do you need to be careful today? Is it as a believer you need to be careful because what is slipping into your life and you've not even been aware of it and you're looking for the Lord Jesus, but that's been put on the back burner? Or maybe you need to be prayerful today. Maybe you need to pray and say, Lord, forgive me for the way that I've been living my life. And I've been wandering from you and I've been trying to do it in my own strength and I've been pretty prideful. Lord, I want to acknowledge that to you. Maybe you need to tell him that you've never believed on his Son, his Savior. You want to do it this morning. You want to be a new creature. You want to be forgiven. You want to know that you're on your way to heaven, escaping the judgment, the wrath, the condemnation. Knowing that you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus, not in fear, Because he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. But rather that he will put his arms out and embrace you because you're standing in grace and faith. You're standing in the gospel. You're standing in God. He's able to make you stand. I'd love to talk with you. I'll be at the door as you exit this room to the right. I'll be standing there greeting folks. You pull me aside. I'd like to talk if you'd like to discuss any of these things. And let's be praying one for another. I'll pray. Our brother David will play a verse and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it's forever settled in heaven. We thank you, Father, that we've been able to consider a variety of scriptures this morning that speak of escaping and standing. And Father, as we look to the future, we confess we don't know what kind of future we really have, whether we will get another breath or whether we will not, whether we will go into very difficult, turbulent times, even more so than we're experiencing today or not. But Father, I pray that each one of us will pause right where we're sitting. And Father, we will consider your voice speaking to us through your word and by your spirit today, that we might stop and say, in what sense do I need to be careful? In what sense do I need to be prayerful? May we take seriously the leaflet of your word that you have dropped into our lives, the leaflet of the people of God that you have dropped into our lives. Father, may we listen, may we heed, may we be careful, and may we be prayerful that you might be glorified in it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.